Good evening and welcome to Watch It or Watch, episode 45. It's just myself and Mike here tonight. Mark is off on yet more adventures. I'm sure we'll hear stories next week. How are you doing, Mike?
Fantastic. 45, wasn't that the Trump presidency?
What? Well, was he the 45th, was he? I have no idea.
I think he might have been. I think he might have been. So this is an extra special Make America Great Again episode.
Oh, it's a MAG episode. Funny story for you.
Go on.
My sister, as part of her job, she's a marketing manager, and she was at some awards or company promotion type conference thing that she was speaking at. Mm-hmm. And I started looking through the people who were at it, and I was going, geez, yeah, there's six managers of different departments talking about stuff. There's a brand manager, sales manager, you know, marketing, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of, you know, state of the company and blah, blah. And then she's sending on pictures from, you know, did a couple of drinks later and blah, blah. And I was sort of looking at, I was going, hang on, this guy looks really familiar. This guy that she's talking to, right? Yeah. And then I go back to where the stage was shown and showed all the managers and their names underneath, and I started going through them and go, yeah, I kind of recognize a couple of those. And then I went, that guy. And I went, holy shit, it is that. It turns out that she hired him a couple of years ago. She headhunted him, right?
Yeah.
And she hired him. But I was just like, yeah, you actually could have asked me about him, because I was like really good mates with him in college in first year.
Right.
And I hadn't seen him since, and I was like, how did you go from that to that, you know? And she was like, no way. And I was going, and he didn't even ask you when he saw your surname, you know? It's not that prolific, like, you know, you might have, you know, but anyway, I just thought it was funny.
That's weird.
She was like, holy shit.
Yeah, nice guy. I thought you were about to tell me a story about the last chopper out of Da Nang, you know?
No.
72, but
no, wasn't one of those drinks things. No. Get to the chopper. So we've loads to get through.
We do. Imagine how much more difficult this would be if we had Mark here. He'd be sitting there saying, point of order, I've got an opinion, you know, I think you guys are wrong.
I win. Doesn't matter what their opinion is, I still win.
No, seriously, I don't have a competitiveness issue.
Don't mind it, Mark. We're only getting out of our system because you're not here.
Loser.
Let's see. Let's see what we start with. Geez, there's so many. Let's start with something we can absolutely horrendously slate. Quantum Leap.
Oh my good God.
I know, right? So this Quantum Leap is based on the original, which ran, I don't know, when was it, late 80s or early 90s?
Yeah, I was there 3,000 years ago. I was there the day the strength of men failed.
I used to love Quantum Leap.
I hated it in the 80s.
Oh, did you?
I hated it.
Was it the 80s? Was it really that long ago?
89 to 93 it ran.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was just so shit. It was just like a fucking nice...
Tell us okay. So the story was, former scientist Sam Beckett finds himself trapped in time due to an experiment gone awry, leaping into the body of a different person every week. Conveniently, that's how often it came out. So Al... at first known only as the Observer, Sam's holographic advisor.
Mm.
And he provides Sam with some details about his new identity. So he's kind of fills him in on what's going on this week and gives him some guidance on how to help the people affected by his presence. So then essentially Sam has to bluff his way through stuff and complete a mission, essentially.
Yeah.
So they've rebooted this and...
And I would just like to point out that for four seasons, it was the same story every fucking week.
It was the age of formulaic TV. There's no doubt about it, you know.
Yeah.
But we've had that lately as well. Fucking Mandalorian is kind of guilty of it too.
Yeah.
So in this reboot, it's nice and shiny and we've got new technology. And we don't have so many devices that are just buttons that have different colors. You know, they've got, you know, little thin little screens now and stuff.
Yeah.
So So it's essentially the same story, but they do give a nod to the original, saying Sam is still missing and he's in time somewhere and he never came back and blah, blah, blah. But it's not the story. That's the worst of it, is it, Mike?
No, Steve, it's not.
No. Oh, my God. It was like they purposely made an 80s version, or tried to make an 80s version of it again, and they hired some interns to write the dialogue.
And they just looked up a list of 80s songs. Let's just put all these 80s songs randomly in so some fucker that's old enough will recognize them.
No, it was the soundtrack from The Wedding Singer. Has to be, you know.
Probably.
Pixies are in there. You know, they hit all the right notes in that regard.
If anybody knew them.
Yeah. Oh, God. This was not good. Yeah. Not good. They'd spent the right amount of money, but it just had that Vaseline kind of lens, kind of... It was... You know what struck me? It was just, like, so American.
Yeah.
So... American.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's a couple of things that really stood out for me. One was the complete and utter non-understanding of how computers work. It was like this guy wrote a new operating system in his spare time as a physicist and just uploaded it.
Just uploaded it, and that's how it works. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But the funniest thing for me was it comes up on the screen, syntax error.
Just you didn't hilarious.
Compile it before you fucking wrote it. Stupid bastard. Oh, good God. They should never, ever allow computers to ever be a part of a plot ever again in any TV series or movie at all.
Yeah, it was terrible, and it was full of the worst cliches. It was just cliche after cliche. I mean, there was nothing there. I didn't like anyone else. So it was devoid of, like, personality, you know.
I think they were trying to give them personalities, but just none of them were likable.
No, they weren't. No,
like, you have the head of security. Well, what exactly are you head of? There's just you. You are.
Yeah. Where's the rest of them? Yeah. 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 Yeah, it seemed like it was rushed to me, you know. It was just like they just, right, we need to do it, let's go fuck out the door, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Direction was brutal. The design, like you were saying, the production design, brutal, lame. Acting, I don't know. Was there much?
No.
I don't know. No, really, it was just, no. Yeah. I couldn't in good conscience. What should you watch? Don't watch this.
No. You know. I mean, I really didn't like the original, but I was looking back fondly on the original after watching.
I know, right?
Yeah. So fucking bad. No, nobody should ever watch this. This needs to go into the memory hole. That's all I have to say on the matter.
Yeah, I think we're done with it. Yeah, I think that's a... skip that one. Yeah, brutal. Sorry for imposing that on you. I actually picked that one out because I like the original. And I thought,
you have had some good scores.
Okay. Yeah, that was a shoot and a miss. That one was.
That was not one of your better choices, Steve.
So, our movie of the week was Beast. This is Mr. Elba. Don't tell us about that.
Yeah. Okay, so Mr. Elba has a dysfunctional family, a couple of teenage daughters that he decides to bring back to South Africa because his former wife was from there. So this is kind of a family reconciliation type trip.
It's a journey of healing.
A journey of healing, yes. Very good, Steve. Very good. Yeah, you should be a writer on these things. So they end up in the back arse of nowhere in South Africa with some random friend that apparently he was at college with, although they didn't do the same subject, and they ended up in different countries and different... Yeah, you know, it doesn't make sense. But they go out looking for wildlife, and then they find some wildlife, which is a little more than they expected. Hashtag Cujo.
You know, even the writing was desperate, and it was full of tropes, and you know, I was laughing because you know, from the start you could see this isn't going to be great. You know, when they landed there, right, and they're oh my god, it's so hot, and blah blah blah, and they're all wearing like fucking three layers of clothes.
Yeah, I got no Wi-Fi signal.
Did you say, oh yeah, that? It was just like, just, oh my god. It's like, oh, it was just nonstop bickering to create this kind of try and create some sort of turmoil, or you know, nonstop chatter in the background where he didn't tell him shut the fuck up. You know, we're being hunted here. So this so they're going to look at some lions. There's been some poachers around. Some poachers get jacked by this big lion, and then they do some silly stuff themselves, and they're essentially in trouble with the lion who hunts them, who's hunting them. The hunted becomes the hunted. Hunter becomes hunted, and that's it. That's the plot. Like, that's the plot. And it was just one stupid thing after another that got them in worse trouble.
Well, you see, these are the deliberate
stay in decisions. The car, then they don't stay in the car. So I said, fucking stay in the car, and you know, that kind of
these
stuff.
These are deliberate decisions by the writers to try and elevate tension. To say, what if somebody makes a bad decision, and then we'll follow it up with another bad decision, and imagine if there's a third bad decision in a row. How excited are the audience going to be? Not very.
Yeah.
You're the stupidest, most victimized fucks I've ever seen. It's like, okay, the guy who knows what he's doing that has a gun just got fucked up. So let's go and rescue him unarmed. Yeah. Oh, and I'm going to run after my dad, who's also unarmed.
I know, right? Like,
it defies belief how bad the writing is in this.
But the other thing was, like, you know, a whole village got mauled to death, right? You know, and then Elba gets grabbed by this lion, like, pretty severely at one stage. Not a scratch, you know. I thought he was going to come out, like, missing a couple of limbs or something, you know. Just bleeding out, and then, not a scratch. It was just like, come on. Yeah. So then I was just done. It was so weak. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'll just put it out there right now. Although I hated nearly everything about this movie.
You're not going to say there's a redeeming factor in this, are you?
There is one redeeming factor.
Oh, yeah.
Idris Elba does some of the best dad runs I've ever seen on
film. Yeah, he did all right, didn't he?
It's just, oh, I got 5 years in me still, you know?
Yeah.
Good man, Idris.
Oh, my God. There was so much filler in there, you know?
It was so predictable. It was,
I know,
it sure was fucking entertainment by numbers, you know. And why do they keep giving kids speaking parts?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh,
it was
why did they bother speaking to them? Because they're just going to do whatever anyway. You know, it's just like don't get out of the car. The lion will fucking maul you.
Yeah.
You know, and then she starts running 50 meters, you know, you're just going, get back in the fucking car. What did he just say? And then your dad gets mauled, you know, come on, it's your fault. Yeah. Get in. Anyway. Yeah.
And I really did enjoy the way they set up the resolution to the movie after 20 minutes into it. And then when the resolution comes in and you see, oh yeah, that was set up after 20 minutes. Then they sit down and explain how they resolved it, just in case you missed all the fucking. Oh, good God!
What's going on with Idris Elba? You know why?
He used to be a good actor. Is he broke?
I don't know.
I don't.
I was wondering, did he have tax problems or something? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, really, he should hang his head in shame.
Yeah. You
know?
Did you see him walking into the water with all the crocodiles? Just for the crack, like.
Yeah. You know, I do actually have a theory about this.
Yeah.
Idris wasn't doing his own accent. So he was trying so hard not to fuck up the accent that he forgot how to act. It was like his brain couldn't do two things at once.
Yeah.
So maybe. I'm just going to sit here being the name star.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is actually a classic movie of just bad decisions and random off tracks. You know, things happen where I'm just going to go here for no apparent reason, just so that we can initiate another action sequence with the lion. You know, it's like turn the corner. Oh, you forgot to leave the door closed, didn't you, you stupid bastard?
Yeah. I thought it was a horror movie with this line, like kind of in, well, horror as in like, you know, the original Jaws when you first saw it, or, you know, Alligator or something like that. There was no fear in this. It was just like, you did the Gator fucking thing.
1974.
I know. This was all like forehead slapping, just going, oh, for God's sake, you didn't do that, did you?
You know.
Mm.
You get to the point where you're rooting for the lions, like,
hurry up, finish this fucking movie quickly. Just fucking come in and take them all.
I'd rather watch Coronation Street for
sake. Yeah. It was just awful. I wanted it to be good. I thought it was going to be good. I was kind of half excited. Idris Elba. Yeah.
Because I did watch, I remember several years ago, I harried you boys into watching Zoo. Do you remember that TV series?
Yeah.
I fucking love that show.
I know
that
you did.
Fucking great. That had lions in Africa and people making good decisions but getting fucked up. That was a great show. This is not.
No, it's not. It's terrible. Don't watch it. What should I watch? Not this. Move on. It's annoying me now the more I think about it. it really is. I'm getting annoyed. What else did we watch? We watched the reboot.
Did you watch The Queen's Room?
Hmm?
Speaking of what we watched this week, one of the two heads of state on this island was buried. I managed to avoid the whole footage, but it struck me that with all the grieving and weeping and gnashing of teeth, I would have preferred if our leprechaun champagne socialist on this side of the island passed away rather than that one.
No, I don't think so. If you think about it, really, no, I don't think you would.
No.
I know. I hear where you're coming from, but really, no.
Sorry, I'm just doing my bit to try and get us banned every week.
You know? I know. Yeah, we'll just leave it there. But I don't believe that for a second.
Moving on.
That's a different podcast entirely. So, let me see. Reboot. Reboot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Reboot. So, speaking of reboots,
which one is Key and which one is Peele? For fuck's sake, I can never make it out.
Keegan-Michael Key is the guy in Reboot.
Okay.
Yeah. So also starring Rachel Bloom and Johnny Knoxville.
And Judy Greer.
Let's say that again.
And Judy Greer.
Oh, Judy Greer's in there as well. There's a few, actually, like Paul Reiser's in there too. There's a few names that you'd recognize, all right.
Yeah.
Was better than I thought it was going to be. So it's in the 2000s, there was a family sitcom. It follows an early 2000 family sitcom that Hulu has rebooted, and their dysfunctional cast that starred in the original are now starring in the new one. And they must they're sort of dealing with their unresolved issues that they had. And some of them are just, nuts. And, you know, they sort of had to go and find them, getting the band back together, kind of a scene. But yeah, okay. So that's the basic premise. So it was a comedy, but God, it was so cheesy. The original, you know, one of those, you know, like Family Ties kind of thing, you know, or Silver Spoons, or I was going to say The Huxtables, but not
Married with Children.
No, Married with Children. Yeah. A bit of that in there too. Yeah.
It was actually a masterclass of retro bad TV from the 80s and 90s.
It was actually, wasn't it? Yeah.
I was actually squirming watching it.
Right. Like, yeah.
God, it was so bad. But we watched it.
I know, right? Yeah. This had some great characters in it, though. I thought Keegan-Michael Key, I thought he was brilliant on it. I thought he really sold that character of Reed Sterling, the self-absorbed, thinks he's an amazing actor, a God's gift kind of guy.
When he started going on about this Yale School of Acting, I burst my shit off.
That was so funny. It was so funny. There's just so many laughs in this. Like, Johnny Knoxville plays a guy called Clay Barber. And what he's like dad, would you say? Is he?
He was kind of, I suppose he was the card in the original.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But now he's old and he's kind of can't come to grips with the fact
that he's not young anymore. Yeah, exactly. Then they had the kid who was in it, Zach, but he's grown up now, but still has the brain of the 8-year-old that he was, which is hilarious. And who else had we? Judy Greer.
Yep.
Rachel Bloom. Yeah. I thought they were both brilliant as well. They just had some brilliant lines in it. And who's the guy who runs Hulu? What was his name again?
I don't know what his name was, but he was brilliant. He had the fucking bullshit executive down pat.
Didn't he? Yeah.
It was just so brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a completely useless tosser, but I'm in charge. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. The Peter principle applies here.
Yeah.
So this is great. It's nearly slapstick. It's so funny in places. Like there's some brilliant laughs in it. I can't really talk about it without giving it away. And I've forgotten what's in the trailer. I don't have any negatives on this. I already enjoyed it. I'll watch another one. They're short too, which is good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a belly slapping, tear-inducing show. You know, it's not the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
but it is engaging. The characters, you want to see what happens next.
Yeah,
And there are some laughs in it. And you can see how messed up they are. And you just want to see how deep down it's going to go before the end, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But it will be funny along the way. But
I think
I think it's worth a watch.
They had a genius bit of writing at the end, I thought. Do you remember the doorstep conversation?
Yes, I do.
I thought that was just genius.
Yeah,
because it works on, you know, several levels.
Yeah,
and it was only as I was sitting there, I was just going, "Oh yeah, I see what you're doing there." You know, it took me a minute, but I just thought it was brilliant.
I think there's an awful lot of, I suppose, fight back against the way Hollywood works.
Absolutely, like, there is.
Obviously people who've been involved in this show who've been fucked over in Hollywood along the lines, and this is their chance to fucking have it go back.
It is poking at it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. So, who else is in there? I thought it was great. Oh, yeah, so there's three internee. Well, they're not interns, they're kind of execs in the. In the production company, and they're just trying to outdo each other, which is also hilarious.
That was brilliant. Like, absolutely brilliant.
Like, if someone asks a question, they'll try and Google it first, you know, things like that, which is brilliant. There's another character that I saw in the trailer that I can't wait to see, which is Zach's mother.
I didn't see that now.
Yeah, you see that. I think that's episode 2, you know. So
okay, right.
Yeah. So, looking forward to More of that. It looks gas. I'm going to give this thumbs up. I think it's worth a look. I think it's a good brain. Leave the brain at the door. Light entertainment.
Do you know, I don't even think you need to leave your brain at the door. Some of it's kind of clever.
I guess, yeah, like that doorstep thing I was talking about. Yeah, I guess.
This is enjoyable. If you're got a free half hour, have a look.
Okay, cool. So that's reboot. And what else do we look at? Speaking of reboot, I don't know. Andor. The latest in the Star Wars.
Where did this come out of?
What do you mean? It was meant to come out. Like, they've been building it up for months. Did you not know about this, no?
No, I didn't know about it at all. It showed up on my feed. It was like, Star Wars, Andor, what's this?
Yeah.
And then I assumed it was just another crap fucking Star Wars knockoff.
No, it's not Mandalorian. That's very straight out of the box. It was just like, this isn't as cartoony. And holy shit, it's raining, you know?
Yeah.
It makes it look a bit more real. It's funny. Got a
Blade Runner feel about it, you know?
It does a little bit, yeah. So it is a prequel to Rogue One.
I'll just put it out there. I liked Rogue One.
I think it's my favorite one. I think it's my favorite Star Wars movie, I have to say. Well, bar episode 4, the first one.
The real ones.
The original. Yeah.
We don't talk about the final trilogy.
Yeah. But Rogue One is excellent. Anyway, so Cassian is the main protagonist, I guess the protagonist name, Cassian Andor, played by Diego Luna. Mm-hmm. And so this bad boy's got a bad deal. He's always been a bit of a shyster, but anyway, he needs off the planet and thinks he's doing a big deal to sell something for a load of credits. Mm-hmm. And so he can make his escape, and the Imperial guards or Imperial troopers are closing in on him. They now have his location, and then he's offered an out. So is that Rebel Alliance then?
It is
the Rebels, obviously, that he's sort of given an out with, you know. So it's the whole thing. It's in the trailer. Yeah. That's what he is. He's like a rebel dude. Yeah. So
but he seems
for the Empire, yeah.
Yeah, he used to be a rebel dude who's been abandoned for a long time. A lot of people know him for being around for a long time. He has this is who this guy is. This is how we react to him because we've seen him a million times before. So he hasn't just gone in on a quick secret mission for a week and then he's off again. This is a long-term plant as such.
Mm. Yeah, and I don't think this is going to be. I don't think this is going to be like formulaic, as in, you know, what happens this week, or you know, same thing every week, but just in a different order.
Yeah.
It's a bit gritty, actually. You know,
gritty is a word.
Yeah, there's people getting shot in the face and stuff. You know,
it's a bit dirty as well. There's people who aren't very clean.
Yeah, well,
you know,
that's the current planet. Yeah. Love them a bit filthy. This is what they released 3 episodes the other night, and there's 12 more to come weekly. So, okay. Yeah.
But I will admit I haven't done my research on this. Where did this come from? How did we get a gritty Star Wars? Who signed off on this?
It's the director of Bourne Legacy.
Okay.
For a start. And Disney poured a shitload of money into it.
Okay.
And I think they did realize that, you know, kind of Boba Fett, Mandalorian, and what was the other one that was out recently? What's the name? Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a little bit cartoony compared to
Yeah.
This
yeah.
and
I mean, trying to track down your prostitute sister is definitely not a Disney kind of a thing. You know?
That's one way of putting it, all right.
So dude, like that immediately caught my attention. It was like, who signed off on this? This is great. I love this stuff. You know, it was, and like here's a perfect counterpoint. In Quantum Leap, you had this bullshit forced diversity just placed in front of you, just because. Whereas in this show, there are people of all kinds of statures, colors, whatever.
Creeds, they say. Wasn't that what you said?
But it absolutely makes sense in terms of what you're looking at. You know, this is a total crap hole, and you know, people come from all over. And it's in no way, you know, impinging on the story, you know, oh my God, we got a guy here who's in minority, you know, it's just like, no, we're telling the story, which is great, you know, and it's, what's the word? Dark, really dark. Like in most of the history of Star Wars, I'm struggling to think of a time when a minor character or like a stormtrooper actually got a speaking role.
You know? Right.
And you were actually thinking, oh, that guy probably has a family and, you know, maybe his kid
is
waiting for him to come home.
Yeah, you're right. Head, you know? You're right. Yeah.
These are things they don't do in Star Wars.
Yeah. I was laughing when I was watching it going, holy shit, there's a lot of admin behind the Imperial, you know, monster that there is. No, it's like, what were the, I can't remember the name of the squad, but it was just like, holy shit, look at these guys are busy. Like, you know.
You know, Stormtrooper B-27, is Dad coming home tonight? I know.
Funny.
Yeah, this is a whole new horizon for Star Wars. I'm really impressed, I have to say, that they've gone this way.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I really do like it. And you know, the story, well, I guess the basic premise at the moment is for Cassian is that, like you say, he's looking for his sister and getting into all sorts of trouble and adventures. And, well, he kind of highlights himself to the Imperials by having a bit of a run-in with a couple of guards kind of thing. So, like now they're after him. He's trying to... Whoa. Oh, my God. Yeah, so, anyway, yeah, I do like it. I love the set. I love the like you're saying, the grittiness and the fact it was, like, raining is quite remarkable because it brings out a different set of colors. Mm. It gives a different feel to it. People are wearing, like, coats, like they're cold, you know.
Just one thing on, actually, the look and feel. It's a weird melange of, you know, the way American shows, like Friends or whatever, the way that looks on the screen is completely different to English shows like, as we were saying, Coronation Street or whatever. The way they film them is totally different. Mm-hmm. And they just look different to your eyes. I don't know what the technical difference is. Mm. But this looks like a mixture of the two. It's not as bleak looking as UK shows, but it's not as sunny looking as American shows. I don't know how they did it to get in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, for lack of a better description, it's more realistic looking. You know what I mean? Well, like I was saying, like Mandalorian and those kind of stuff, that was always, you know, kind of what you'd have expected from Disney doing Star Wars stuff, in that it was a little bit more cartoony and, you know, and it was a bit A-teamy, you know. Mm-hmm. Where there wasn't, you know, you don't see a whole lot of splattering going on. You know, there's a little bit of it, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was acceptable because it was, you know, furry creatures, you know, that got hit or something, you know. It wasn't dudes, like it wasn't Game of Thrones style, you know.
Yeah.
But they didn't go off the, like I say, they didn't go off the deep end Game of Thrones style either. So there's, it's a nice balance there, I think. I think they kind of nailed it with this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Mm.
Pleasantly, very pleasantly surprised with what they've offered here.
Delighted, actually.
I've been so disappointed with so many of these fucking Star Wars things. For
I
so
know, long. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And there's no superheroes. You know, there's nobody with huge powers completely unbalancing the story.
You know, that's going to happen at some stage in Star Wars. Not yet.
Yeah. I mean, that the main guy, it looks like he could get hurt.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that dude definitely bleeds. Yeah. Cassian Andor.
Hmm.
There you go.
Go watch it.
Yeah, go watch it. Do it. It's great. And then, yeah, don't watch The Beast. Don't watch Quantum Leap. Reboot. Yeah, so we're saying watch Reboot and watch Andor. Is there anything else you want to do? Oh, yeah, so you watched something called War of the Ring.
Oh, yes.
What's that
Steve
about?
Steve.
Yeah.
Do you remember I shat from a height like a... like a Dubai porta potty on the War of the Rings thing that came out a couple of weeks ago.
You mean the
Rings of Power?
Rings of Power.
So I think you thought it was all right. It really wasn't doing it for me.
It's still watching it. Yeah.
This is a cartoon. Reconstruction of all the battles and the history of the Third Age. It's on YouTube. It's free. And it is an absolutely magnificent compilation of the history of the whole Third Age. It's done in an animation form. It reminds me a lot of... The early 80s kind of animation, like Watership Down, that kind of thing. It's there's something really homely about it. You know, you see Gandalf and it's like, ah.
Wow,
it's just everything is perfect. And
it's great quality. Yeah.
There's a narration above it, which kind of brings everything together. And it sets you up from scene to scene to scene, and everything fits. There's no time when you think, oh, they kind of lost the train of things here and there. You know, this didn't make sense. Everything flows beautifully from one scene into another. And even if you knew nothing about Lord of the Rings, if you watch it from start to finish, you'd be like, wow, this is fantastic.
Excellent. It's 3 hours long as well. Wow.
It's 3 hours long. I just can't begin to imagine the amount of effort that went into this for no money. You know, this doesn't have a Hollywood studio behind it. It's a labor of love. And it's worth every minute of your attention. I would just say drop Rings of Power right now and go watch this.
Wow. Cool. That's really cool. Yeah, I'll certainly be dipping in out of this. Don't know if I'll watch all at once, although it could happen once I get started on it.
Watch it 10 minutes at a time. You know, it's going to be there forever.
Cool. Kind of disappointing, that more people don't know about this.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of 100,000 views on it, but it needs to be millions.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like 18 to 20 million. It's actually just over 500,000 now.
Yeah,
it came out on September 2nd. Okay, yeah, in fairness, I can see that now. Wow, cool, nice one. I'll watch that. Yeah.
Good job, the makers.
Very good, excellent. Was there anything else we watched? I'm trying to have a look there. No, I think I'll leave it there, Mike. Unless you've something else that. Yeah. Okay.
I would just like, you know, before we wrap it up, to say again just how much fun it was without Mark.
So not from Mark, but from Mike and Steve.
Stay classy.
Oh, boom.
We did it there.
You see, that's always been the issue. Now we know.
Separated at birth.